Great. Well, thank you, Ollie and Oliver, for reading for us from Psalm 46. Please turn to that and keep that open in front of you because we're going to have a look at that. We're going to look at that in a couple of sections. And let's pray. Let's ask for God's help as we look at his word together. Father, we pray, please, that you would teach us now. Help us to understand your word and help us to be changed by it, that we would live our lives this week in the light of what we learn today. Amen. Okay, the question we're going to think about this morning in our Pathfinder birthday service is, not that, it's this, trusting God in a troubled world. How can we trust God in a world which seems so troubled? It seems like there is so much bad going on in the world, so much which is difficult. There are wars, there are things that you hear about in the news, there are bad things going on, there are bad things that go on closer to home. How can we trust God in a world which seems so troubled? Now we see in the psalm how the psalmist describes the world. And let me just reread it for you. It says in verse 2, it says, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. So that is saying, imagine that the world were like an enormous ocean with mountains in it. And even if it was incredibly rough, actually, let's do that. Let's see if we can create that. Okay, we need, you guys are going to be the ocean. Okay, boys and girls, you are the ocean where you're sitting now. And we could do with some mountains. Now, this says nothing about your size or weight, but we could do with some people to be mountains. Anyone willing to be a mountain? Yeah, okay, if you're willing to be a mountain, stand up. And by standing, you are a mountain. No, not on your chair, thanks. Thanks, Brent. Well done, Debbie. Great, thank you, Ben. Okay, that'll do. That's enough mountains. So you guys are our mountains. Everyone else is sea. Now, for sea, we're going to start doing sort of little Mexican waves to do a little storm, and then it's going to get bigger. And then when we're going big, we're going to get sort of big waves going sort of backwards and forwards, and then we'll have mountains falling into the heart of the sea, which you can do in as dramatic a way as you feel you want to, depending on... Yes, thank you, Ben. I hope you're focusing. Be the mountain. Okay, so let's start with a bit of sea waves going. Let's start at this side. So you can stay sitting for this, all right? But just hands going up and down, and we want the maximum wave to go across. So we start there and go across. So ready? Start. Go and go. Very nice. It's a very tight. Now, when we get to this side, come back, all right? So start at this side and back. Very nice. Now, can we get a bit bigger? Okay, and we're a bit faster. Very nice, bigger. Now you can stand up if you want. Okay, and we need a bit of foot stamping going on as well while we're doing this, because it's a storm, it's all very quiet. Start at this side again, go across, and back, and cross, and back, and now just chaos, and mountains fall into the heart of the sea, and calm. Okay, now mountains, you can sit back on your seats. Thank you very much. Mountains, I was really feeling it. That was great. Great work. Thank you very much. Well done, Ben. Thank you, Debbie and Brent and all those who are mountains. Now, this psalm is saying, okay, if the world is chaotic, even if the world is like a sea which is just foaming and roaring and crashing, and even if the mountains, which seem so solid, were to fall into the heart of the sea. Now, sometimes it can feel like the world is a bit like that. That it is all just chaotic. It is all just hard. It is difficult. Maybe not actual mountains falling in seas, but it can feel like there's a lot of chaos out there. And furthermore, you see verse 6, it says nations are in uproar. And we see that around the world. We see that on the news. There's fighting, there's wars. And there are even things which sort of feel like they get fairly close to home. Things that happened in Paris last year. Where you go, actually, that's kind of scary. Now, how do we react to that? The world feels chaotic. It feels like, you know, it all could feel like it's all falling apart. It feels like nations are against nations. It feels like it's kind of scary out there in the world. How do we react? Well, we could react a bit like this guy. Now, serious point. Who's that? Can someone tell me who that is? Shannon, who's that? It's Mr. Jelly. Thank you very much. Now, you could react like Mr. Jelly. Now, the thing about Mr. Jelly is he is scared of everything. Thank you very much. He is scared of everything. One morning, yeah, he's scared of his Rice Krispies or cornflakes. He's scared of everything. One morning, he's asleep in bed. A leaf brushes past his window. And he wakes up and he says, "Oh no, the house is falling down. It's an earthquake. It's the end of the world." And that's just a leaf going past his window. Now, the thing is, we can react to the world, maybe not exactly like Mr. Jelly, but we can be a bit like Mr. Jelly, where we go, "It's all just terrible out there. It's frightening. Let's just not go out." Now, don't make Mr. Jelly your life coach. There are two things that he tries to do, neither of which are very good. One thing he tries to do is to live in the middle of... Where does he live?
Nowhere.
Middle of nowhere. He lives in a forest. He's nowhere near anyone because he tries to get away from everyone because he thinks if he's just away from everyone, there won't be any trouble. Now, don't try and do that. Don't try and think, well, if I just get away from everyone, there'll be no problems, because that doesn't work. What's the other thing? What does the tramp teach him to do? This is testing your memory, and Mr. Jenny. Hang on, wait, let's see whether someone else can get it. What does the tramp tell him to do? Count to 10. If the tramp tells him, by the way, don't learn lessons from tramps either, but the tramp tells him, count to 10, and then the thing that seemed frightening won't seem so frightening. In other words, if you count to 10, it just won't seem as bad. The things you were frightened of, they're just not that bad. Now, that's kind of denial, isn't it? It's just saying, oh, the world just isn't that bad. Okay, the Bible gives us really good things to hold on to say this is how we can trust God in a troubled world. And you don't have to be like Mr. Jelly. Now, we're going to learn them from Psalm 46, and we're going to do that in a few minutes. But in order for us to do this, boys and girls, I need you to go with Melissa through the curtain to go and get something ready for us. So boys and girls, if you'd like to go through the curtain with Melissa, it's a good thing that you would go through and do, and you can help her go through and make something. And we will see it in a minute. So through you go. Give you a few minutes to get through. Well done. Okay, well done. Well done, well done, well done. Okay, happy? Great. Okay, while they're doing that, we're going to stand and sing the psalm together. So we're going to sing, we sang it a few weeks ago, but we're going to sing, God is our strength and refuge. Let's stand. And we learn this about God. So, God is our, okay, we've got an anagram up there, boys and girls. You need to find what that is. It's in verse 7 and verse 11. Have a look. Make sure you've all had a look. All have a look. What's that word going to be? Now, don't shout it out, don't shout it out, don't shout it out, but have a look. What's the word? Mums and dads, grown-ups, have you looked to check what that word is? God is our, what's the word? Do you know what it is? Have you got it? Yeah. No, not yet. Fortress, thank you, brilliant. God is our fortress. Now, a fortress, what is a fortress? A fortress is a building that's really strong, isn't it? It's really sturdy, and it's going to cope with all kinds of things being fired at it. So there's a fortress up on the screen, and you think if you were in that, you'd feel pretty safe, wouldn't you? If people were coming to attack you, you were in there, you'd feel pretty solid, pretty secure. Now, boys and girls, you very kindly made for us a fortress. So let's see the fortress. Well, they only had a few moments. They did pretty well. Let's give them a round of applause. It's a pretty good fortress. I like it. Liking the flag sticking out the top as well. Very good. Well worked. Now, the thing about a fortress is a fortress needs to be strong and secure, and it needs to protect people who are going to be in it. Now, it would be good to see how secure, how strong our fortress here is. So, we're going to have a couple of people maybe hiding behind our fortress. Ah, I didn't ask you beforehand, Peter, but I think you better be one. Melissa, you better be another, because we can't have children being fired at. So we've got to have... and Peter, it's all right. It's all right. Peter's over 18. We can throw anything at him now. But we do need a couple of people to fire... Any volunteers? Right, I sit down, Pip, sit down. Who are we going to go for? Yeah, would you like to come and do one? Okay, now if you could stand over here. Okay, very good. And we'll go for one more. Ben, since it's yours. I presume you've adjusted the sights to your specific liking. That's it. So if you're that side, you're that side. Brilliant. Yeah, I think you've got about three bullets each, so you can't do too much damage. But anyway, so Peter and Melissa, hiding behind the fortress. Let's see how much this protects them. Okay, in your own time, go for it. Yeah, they're firing at you. Yeah, go for it. Yeah, fire at them. They're both wearing glasses. They're safe. How's the fortress working out, guys? Oh, hang on. That's right. That's it. That's the one. Oh, no! Don't do that! No!
It wasn't loaded.
It wasn't loaded. Is it loaded? No. Give it another go. Are you out of ammo?
No.
You go for it though. Oh. And no! Don't look down it. Don't look down it. You frighten me every time you do that. Okay, now go for it. Yeah, got one. Now next one. Oh yeah, the fortress. That's true. Go for the fortress. Are we done? Are we out?
No, just one more.
Okay. Okay, there we go. I think we'll do on that. Thank you very much. Well done, guys. So how was the fortress?
It worked well.
It worked well. Okay, you guys can go and sit down. Thank you, guys. Clearly, that fortress, if you were actually under attack, wonderful though it is, you're not going to want to hide behind that one if you're really under attack. But God being our fortress, he is solid, he is secure. The promise of this psalm is, in verse 7 and verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. In other words, if you're a Christian, God is your fortress. You are safe in him. Now, the Bible is not saying you're sometimes in him as a fortress, or you live most of your life outside the fortress, but actually you can get in there sometimes. He's saying you are in the fortress. God is your fortress. The fortress is not actually a building. It is God himself. He is strong. He surrounds you. He protects you. You are completely safe. There are loads of questions that grown-ups particularly you're thinking about at the moment, and we'll come back to them in a bit. But the promise of these verses is God is your fortress. He is solid, he is secure, he surrounds you, you are safe. Okay, great news. Next thing that we learn from the verse. Okay, you've got to look this up again. Verses 7 and verse 11. Have a look in the verses. Have a look in the verse, see if you can work out what those anagrams are. Have a look. Okay, yep. God is with us. That's right, God is with us. Now, we need just to think about what that means. We thought about this in our afternoon service a week or so back. What does it mean to say God is with us? There are probably more meanings of saying someone is with you. So you could say, I'm with you, as in I'm in the same room as you. So you could say, you're with me, in that you're just here. And you imagine the biggest crowd that you've ever been a part of, you say, well, you had loads of people with you. Yeah? With you means in the same room. But it also means something else. It also means I'm behind you. I'm on your team. So, for instance, if after this service I were to say, let's all go and spend all our money on sweets, who's with me?
Yeah.
You see? Instantly, I've got a group of people who are saying, yes, I'm with you. Now, by that, they didn't mean, I'm in the same building as you. You didn't mean that, did you? What you meant was, I'm with you. I'm on your side. I'm behind the idea. It's a stellar idea. Okay? So there's two different meanings of the word to be with you. And when God says he is with us, he is not just saying, I'm in the same place as you. Because we know God's omnipresent, is he? He's everywhere. So for God to say that, you go, well, yes, of course you are. You're everywhere, God. No, when God says he is with you, he is saying, I am on your side. I am on your team. I am protecting you. I am with you, in that kind of way. And God tells us that is true of us, that he is with us every day, every minute of every day. And we know that's true. We know God is with us, that he is for us, because he sent his son to die for us. However difficult things may feel in our lives, we can look back in history to the cross, and we can say we know God is with us. He is for us, because he gave the most precious thing he'd got so that we could be forgiven. And because he gave the most precious thing he's got, the Bible tells us in Romans 8, therefore, he wouldn't withhold anything from us. He'd give us anything and everything. We know he is for us. He is with us. Now, we need to put these two things together. God is our fortress. He is our fortress, and he is with us. Now, some of the questions that are coming up in your minds might well be, but hang on, bad things do still happen to Christians. Nasty things, difficult things still happen to Christians. Now, how do we understand that? How do we put that together with the fact that God is our fortress and we're safe? That God says we're secure, we're in him. Now, if we're in the fortress, if we're kind of in it, then how come difficult things still happen to us? Well, we're not saying that difficult or painful things never happen. But the psalm is saying that nothing can happen to us other than what God has determined will happen to us. Now, this is kind of hard to get our heads around. We may not understand the things that happen in our lives. We may not understand the things that happen in the world. But God's promise is nothing. If you're a Christian, nothing can happen to you. Nothing can happen to you other than what God has decided will happen. Now, that therefore means you've got to rethink what you mean by safe. Being safe in this world is not actually that nothing bad ever happens to you, but it is rather being able to say, God, I know that you know what you're doing. God, you know what you're doing. Boys and girls, have you ever had it where your parents have told you to go and do things actually you don't want to do, like go and sit on the naughty step, or maybe that you're not allowed to go and watch TV? Or maybe even things where you go, actually, you've got to eat your vegetables up. You've got to eat that food, whatever it is, because it's good for you. Or that you've got to stop watching TV, stop playing on screens, and you've actually got to go outside and breathe fresh air and see sunlight. Well, sometimes parents say those kind of things, and you go, oh, I don't want to do it. Why are you making me do it? And there come points where actually parents just have to say to you, trust me, I know what I'm doing. This is good for you. And actually, with our lives, to be safe in this world is not necessarily that bad things never happen to us or that difficult things never happen to us. It is rather that we can say of God, God, I trust you. You know what you're doing. And therefore, I can trust you. God is our fortress. We are always surrounded by God. God is with us. And third thing that we're going to see. We're going to see a glimpse into the future. It's kind of exciting to think that you could glimpse into the future, isn't it? I wonder what we'd see if we could glimpse into the future. Now, we're not talking about kind of technology things, as if we're all going to be wearing that kind of thing, or sort of that we're all going to be driven around in cars like that, which are sort of driverless and buzz around on roads without anyone driving them. We're not thinking about technology. We're thinking about, okay, what does God say he is going to do in the future? Now, the Bible tells us and the psalm tells us. Could you have a look at verse 8? This tells you something that's going to happen in the future. That's kind of exciting, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to read it for you. It says, come see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Okay, just have another skim through those again. Have another look at them and see if you can see what things God has said he is going to do. Grown-ups, you do it as well. Have a look at those verses. What's it saying that God will do? Okay, you've seen some things in there that it says God will do. Let me tell you. Okay, it says, oh, okay, yeah, if you want to volunteer one.
He will make wars cease to the end of the earth.
Brilliant, thank you. He will make wars cease. So in the news at the moment, there are lots of places in the world which look troubled, where it looks like there is war. God is saying there will be a day when he will stop all wars. There will be no wars, and therefore there will be no weapons. Do you see all the weapons that God says he will get rid of? What weapons did it say? Verse 9. What weapons does he get rid of? Yeah. The shield. You won't need a shield because no one's going to be firing at you. Yeah. Bow. He'll break the bow because no one will be firing arrows or using guns or that kind of thing. Yeah. Spear. No one will need spears. No one will use them. You just won't need weapons or shields, things to defend you. Because God is saying he will get rid of all wars. There will be no fighting. And that's not just international, big wars. He's saying there will be no fighting between people. Doesn't that sound good? And God says, verse 10, what it will be like. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, exalted means lifted high. In other words, he's saying that world will be one where God will be worshipped. He will be lifted up. Now, those two things go together, the stopping of wars and the worshipping of God. You can't have one without the other. The only way for us to have a world where there is peace is for people to turn to God and worship him. Because our wars are created by the fact we worship other things and we put them first. But if we all put God first, there would be no wars. The two things have to go together. The worship of God, lifting God up, and no wars, and there being peace. But God is saying that's where we will be. There will be a world where there will be no wars, no fighting, and where God, where Jesus will rule over everyone perfectly. Now that is going to be a fantastic, wonderful world. That is where God is taking us. And if we've trusted in Jesus, with him as our Lord and our Saviour, that is where we will be in the future. So, our 3 points. Oh, yeah, so, yeah. What will the news be like in that world? Imagine the news. At the moment, on the news comes up. You know, today there's more fighting in wherever, other parts of the world. What will the news be like? The person come on to do the news, they'll say, hello, welcome to the news. There is no news. It's all good news. It'll be a wonderful news program, wouldn't it? To have news in that new creation, in that new world that God will make where there's no fighting and no war. So, the 3 things that we get from this psalm, 3 things we've picked out. God is our fortress. God is with us. And we get a glimpse into the future of a world where there'll be no wars and it'll be a wonderful place. Therefore, what do we do? It says there, therefore we will not fear. Verse 2 tells us that. Therefore we will not fear. Now that's interesting, isn't it? The Bible is telling you how to feel about looking into about this week, about the world. Therefore it says we will not fear. Because God is our fortress. God is with us. And we know where God is taking the world. We don't need to fear. We don't need to be like Mr. Jelly. We don't need to be all worried about, oh, what if we go out of the house? What if this happens? What if that happens? What about if things that happen in Paris happen near us? What if the world is, you know, what are we going to do? Maybe we should just go off and live in a forest, or maybe we should just count to 10 a lot. But the Bible says, no, don't do that. You don't need to fear, because God is your fortress. God is with you. And we know where God's taking the world. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we don't need to fear because you are our fortress. You are with us. And you have shown us where you're taking the world into a wonderful world where there is peace, where there is no chaos, no trouble, and where Jesus will reign and will be seen to reign. Father, we look forward to that world. And we pray, please, you'd help each one of us to put our trust in Jesus and get ready for that world. Amen.